Get ready for another heapful of fascinating things to know from witty and intriguing people on Judd's Napa Valley Show. No stale script and no rehearsing, live from a Napa studio. You may be that intriguing person on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Pardon me, I'll have a Chardonnay. A marvelous day, it's hard to say. I know we never talk about the Sauvignon Blanc. It's a must-have on the podcast. It's Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Easy-o, the Pinot Grigio.
You can't ease this flow if I elaborate over a Cabernet. My buddy's the truth. You should study my man Juddy and learn something new.
Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy Judd's Hill wine, and that's pretty much the same thing. And now, live from Wind Down Media Studios at South Napa Century Center, it's Judd's Napa Valley Show. I'm Lauren Mull, and here's your host, Judd Finkelstein!
Thank you very much, Lauren Mull. It is so good to see you. It has been a long time. We have been on hiatus, a little harvest imposed hiatus. You know, the grapes are coming in, and I just have not been able to put the proper time and effort into producing the quality of broadcast excellence that our listeners have become accustomed to. So a little break, but it is so good to be back. I'm happy to be here. It's good to see you. This feels good. It feels comfy. We're in the new studio. You're looking sharp. And
I got the official hat.
You do. What does it say? I don't have my glasses on.
Wind Down Media.
Oh, it's the Wind Down Media hat. Oh, my goodness. Where do you get one of those?
Oh, Will and Julissa.
You just got to know someone around here.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay. Well, what have you been doing in the weeks that we've been absent from the studio? You're always up to something.
Well, I recently got to help out with KVON and the Vine at Blues, Brews, and Barbecue.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was a success. I had a wonderful time, and I got to help out our very own Sam Craycraft, who's now manning the front desk, and he is doing a wonderful job. And I got to say, Judd, a funny event that happened while I was there. Sam introduced me to a listener at the booth. He introduced me as Lauren Wells. I'm like, Lauren Wells, where did that come from?
You've got a new stage name.
Not really. But no, he's doing a wonderful job. You hear him on some of the commercials and other spots he's doing. And I've actually maybe talked him into getting something to do with on TV.
Okay.
With TL28.
Well, you're involved over there. People love to see you. They love to hear you.
That's right.
Have you been singing? Have you been appearing in any major league stadiums lately?
No.
No.
Not lately.
Anything coming up?
I recently went to Lake Tahoe with Mom and Dad on vacation a couple weeks ago.
Not Lake Elmenor?
Not Lake Elmenor this time. Lake Tahoe.
You switched it up. Okay, that's good. Variety is the spice of something or other.
We did. We went we went to Viking's home, and we went on the Dixie.
Mm-hmm. That's the paddle boat?
The paddle boat, yes.
Or the paddle wheel.
Paddle wheel boat.
Yeah.
And then we stayed at the Lakeside Inn for the first time in 20 years.
That's great, man. It sounds like a good time. I've not been up that way in a while.
It is. And I also got what's coming up with me, Judd. I got family coming in from out of state and out of town, particularly from Arizona and Lake Elmenor, because of our annual family boating trip this weekend on the Delta.
Oh, that's coming up this coming weekend.
This coming weekend.
Oh, that's a blast. That is a Mole, not a Wells family, but a Mole family tradition.
Yes, a Mole family tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my grandfather brings his boat down from Lake Elmenor called the Panatella, and it's got a built-in Volkswagen engine.
Really?
Built right in. And we launch it out of B&W Resort out of Isleton. Have you been over there, Judd?
I've sort of. I've, you know, driven by. I check out some vineyards out there, and I did a road trip with our pirate when we were aging our Madeira-style wine in the back of a truck. We went out where it was hot and let it slosh around and checked that out, Isleton.
Well, no, really. I just love getting out there once a year.
Good. I know it's a great tradition for your family, so I hope you enjoy and I hope you boat safely.
Same with Rio Vista as well, where we just pass on through.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you, Jack?
Hey, grapes. You know, close my eyes and see grapes. It's good. It's been a good year. So I invite anybody who wants to come take a look, you know, our Judd's Hill Winery right here at the south end of Silverado Trail, 1 mile north of Trancas, open daily. We'd love to see you, and you can come see what we're up to. Maybe we'll even let you punch down some Cabernet. That's coming in right now. We're just starting. The big reds are coming in. So that's what's happening in that world. I want to give a couple plugs of some events that are coming up.
Sure.
The amazing, fabulous, always fun barbecue and beer battle is coming up. It's the 9th annual, and it's going to be October 20th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Vista Colina Resort here in South Napa. It's a wonderful event, super fun. You're going to eat until you explode. There's so much beer. And Woodhouse Barbecue, the reigning champs, they're coming back, and they're taking on Bartlett's Barbecue. That's going to be head-to-head competition. And for more information and tickets, it's part of the Napa Valley Education Foundation, and this benefits their Music Connection program to make sure that we have, we meaning our local students, access to music education, musical instruments. I love it. Anything to encourage musical education, I'm for. So, of course, for the 9th year in a row, there will be Judd's Hill wines available to sample and enjoy with your championship barbecue, and I'll be there to say hello. So NVEF.org is where you want to go for tickets. NVEF, Napa Valley Education Foundation.org. While you're online, check out Judd'sHill.com and join me next summer on our fabulous Mediterranean cruise. I won't get into it too much, but you're not going to want to miss this adventure of a lifetime. And that's at judshill.com on the events page. See what's up with that and other events. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, there's a fun thing you can bring the kids to if you like miniature golf. A little bit of a tie-in with the Safeway Open happening. Come on down to First Street Napa, and there's going to be a six-hole golf course set up, a little mini putt-putt for the kids to enjoy, any age, really. It's going to be hot, but I want to stress that there will be free ice cream, Smitten ice cream. So you'll be able to cool off there. Proceeds, it's free to come down. There are some things you can buy tickets for food and a donation if you'd like to make. And then all of that, 100% goes to the Elena's Voice Foundation, which we have talked about here on this show many times. So a few fun things coming up. And another fun thing coming up is really the subject of this show. So Lauren Mole, would you mind, please, giving one of your signature introductions to our guests?
Today we'll create a mosaic of culture, modern, and archaic. We'll talk about wine and having a good time with local vintners, Hebraic.
That's right. Thank you very much, Lauren. Well, we've got some Hebraic vintners here. This is actually, we have sitting in front of me right now, Michael Deller, a previous guest on this show and restaurateur extraordinaire. Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Hi, Jed.
Hi. And Gary Lipp, an icon of the Napa Valley wine industry. I'm glad that you're here as well. Good morning, Gary.
It's my pleasure. Good morning to you.
Yeah, things are great, and I'm glad to have you here. This show, the next few minutes here, we're going to talk about an event that you are helping to put together, and it is, as mentioned by Lauren Mole, the Hebraic Vintners. This is a celebration of our local vintners of Jewish heritage, and Lauren has heard me say this many times, as have the listeners. I'm always talking about travel. Get out of your bubble. As Mark Twain said in Innocence Abroad, travel is fatal to prejudice. You got to get out. You got to get some perspective. And I often talk, if you can't actually physically get out for whatever reason, find some things nearby that take you out of your bubble to experience other cultures, other ways of life, other traditions. So I'm going to now be spotlighting things that are happening locally that bring other cultures into the fold and a chance for the Napa community at large to experience them. So welcome. I'm happy to talk about this, and this is a celebration that's coming up relatively soon. Why don't we get right into it? And it is called L'chaim.
And what does that mean?
Well, I think it means to life, L'chaim, 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 to life, da 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 da. You asked for it. I'm sorry.
All right. Reminds me of your bar mitzvah.
You were there. You were there. And by the way, I have to clean off this microphone now. It's hard to say L'chaim without making a mess, but you've got to say it that way. That was many years ago, and I'm surprised anyone can remember that far back. But yes, we go back a ways.
We do. And since before there was you.
That's true. The family's known you a long time, and we've celebrated many good times together and many more to come. And today we're going to talk about celebrating this particular good time. So tell me about it. What's going to happen, and why is this going to be so cool? Why are we doing this? on and on and on. I want to hear all about this. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this is the second reprise, if you will, of the Jewish Vintners event, highlighting Jewish vintners of the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And accompanying great food. Last year, we had a fabulous chef, David Nayfeld from Kefiko, one of the hottest restaurants, not in San Francisco, but in the country. And this year, we're going to top that with...
Which is hard to do. That was phenomenal.
Well, this year, we have probably the foremost Jewish culinarian chef and cookbook writer, Joan Nathan, coming out of New York, or excuse me, Washington to be with us.
Yeah.
She will be here to orchestrate the food with our own Itamar Abramovich, who will be the catering chef from Blossom Catering.
Blossom Catering, another former guest on this show, and I just want to interrupt briefly to remind folks, since we're now coming up on the anniversary of the big fires almost 2 years ago, Itamar, Chef Itamar, and the reason I had him on the show, he was the fellow spearheading feeding of the fire victims and first responders, and did an amazing job with all the logistics, preparing, I think he said, upwards of 30,000 meals throughout
amazing.
The time there. So here's a chance for folks to now taste what he can do at this event as well.
You bet.
And Joan Nathan, that is huge. I've got a couple of her cookbooks on my shelf, and I even turn to her Facebook page and website once in a while when I'm looking for a good matzo ball recipe or something like that.
James Beard Award winner multiple times, winner of the IACP Awards multiple times. That's the International Association of Culinary Professionals.
Yes, if you get that, then your cookbook is guaranteed a bestseller.
Her own show on PBS, writer for the New York Times. At any rate, her food is spectacular. In just a bit, I'll talk to you about the menu. Preceding Joan will be a spectacular cheese presentation by our own Janet Fletcher.
Another former guest on this show.
Also, actually, in the farmer.
Yeah, that's right.
On the board of directors of the Farmers Market, which is a 20-yard pass away.
We're looking at it right now out this window.
Amazing.
And they're going to be leaving us soon.
Well, that's another topic for another time.
Oh, yeah.
But what a lineup. I mean, Itamar, Joan Nathan, Janet Fletcher. These are all big names. And then the wines. I haven't had a chance to look at the lineup. I'm going to be there pouring,
I'll be there pouring my Stardust, and Gary Lipp will be there pouring.
Yeah, we'll show our coho, and we've got some well-established wineries from Napa and some very exciting new ones. Sam Kaplan, who's the star winemaker up at Arkenstone, is presenting his Maxim wines, which named for his kids, Max and Emma, and Drew Nyman with Nyman Cellars, but my former partner, Brooks Painter, who's the director of winemaking at Castello d'Amoroso, will be showing those beautiful wines from the castle. Of course, Ernie Weir, who's probably no one more associated with being a Jewish vintner here in Napa Valley, making the delicious and kosher Hagafen wines. We'll be presenting wines from the Hall Winery. Covenant Wines, another kosher winery, will be on tap, as well as Hard Six Cellars. And Honig Wines, La Coya, which in my past, I happened to name that brand.
So you named La Coya?
I named La Coya, yeah. I was working, I was doing the marketing for Jess Jackson back then for his Artisans and Estates group, which was the small wineries. And Jess had been reticent to really come into Napa, and then he bought the Robert Pepe Winery to make it into, I always call it Opus 2, the Cardinal. And so he kind of got the bug. He saw, big Cabernets from Napa. I think there's some money to be made there. And he began to purchase vineyards on our sub-Appalachian regions. And his goal was to have one on each of them, and needed a name for the project, and he wanted to call them Vineyard Peaks. And I said, Jess, I think it's a little derivative for, this is how long ago 1995 was, if we were gonna charge $100 a bottle, that astronomic price.
A lot of money.
Exactly. So I did a little research and saw that the Lokoya were the tribe of the Miwok, who lived up on Mount Feeder, and it meant the goose people, probably because they had the Canadian geese would rest up there on their on their journey. And LaCoya sounded like a great name to me. Jess liked it. A lot of the people at Kendall Jackson got a big kick out of it. They said, oh, this is good. Now we're going to have LaCoya Jackson as part of the... But anyhow...
Oh, my gosh.
They're
what
beautiful
a story.
Wines.
Yeah.
Speaking of one of the hottest winemakers, we'll have Steve Mathiasen with his beautiful Mathiasen wines.
Yeah.
And finishing up with... the Silver Trident wines, and of course, as we said, Michael is the very rarely seen outside of the homes of special people. Michael's Stardust wine, so we're excited about that.
That's going to be a big treat to get a little Stardust that evening.
We'll sprinkle a little around.
I love it. That's a great idea. Okay, so if folks want to come to this, like, what's the experience going to be? And did we mention the date, time, all that stuff? Did we?
We will. It is.
Let's let them know right now. They can put it on their calendar.
Saturday, October 19th, starting at 4 o'clock. So we begin with our tasting. 14 wineries, a walk around tasting. There'll probably be 50 wines poured among this group, and then after that, for those who purchase the dinner, which nobody will want to miss that. We start about 6 o'clock,
so it's separate
for a seated dinner.
Tickets.
You can get one, the other, or both.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now that
and
it's
both
a,
is, as we like to say in New York, a deal.
A deal. I'll bet for you.
It's a deal.
Yes.
$50 for the tasting. Uh-huh. That'll probably end up being like $1 a taste.
Seriously, that's
Can't
a good
beat
deal.
That. And the dinner, the spectacular dinner, multi-course. And I'm going to tell you the menu. I'm going to move into the menu.
Go ahead.
The dinner is $195,
all right,
which is a bargain for these kind of events. Combined, tasting and dinner, $225.
What a deal.
And the nice thing about the dinner, first of all, it's family style. So it's really fun and has that right feel. And each vintner hosts their own table. And we ask all our vintners, and as they did last year spectacularly, bring out wines from the library and in large formats, so the wines at dinner are definitely different than the wines at the tasting, and they get a chance to see the depth of what each winery can produce.
So yes, and
it's very exciting.
It was. I recall at the dinner, I mean, not only was the tasting ahead of time fantastic, but at dinner there were these old and big bottles coming out of some pretty rare and special wines that that the vintners themselves were saving for special occasions, and this happened to be it. So I know anybody who comes to this is going to be very pleased.
Well, that's it. I'm bringing the big magnums that are aged out of the cellar for the table.
Nice.
And also, there's going to be a magnum raffle. So everybody will bring a magnum or larger, and that's going to be one of the great raffle items. But listen to this menu.
All right.
The first course is going to be displayed on the table. It's going to look bounteous. Hummus with preserved lemons and cumin. Persian Bazargan Bulgar and tamarind with nuts, caponata siciliana de melanzane, eggplant, caramelized shallots and goat cheese, dried clementines and ricotta, Ethiopian Sabbath bread.
Wow.
Okay, and then moving on to the main course,
Lauren,
which will be
are you
served family style.
Ethiopian Sabbath bread is... I don't think I know what that is, but
well,
I can't wait.
There's only one way to find
out. I know,
out.
I'm excited. Yeah. Yeah. This satisfies my craving to travel without... actually going.
This
I can
is,
experience it there.
The main course.
The debut in Napa Valley, probably.
Yeah.
The main course starts with slow-cooked brisket, red wine, vinegar, and mustard.
That's up
brisket
my alley.
To die for. Oh. Melt in your mouth. And then Libyan braised fish, crunchy saffron rice, and Moroccan tagine of vegetables. All these are going to be spread out on the table.
It's a very multicultural dinner.
Well, it is. It's got that Mediterranean feel.
Yeah, North Africa, Mediterranean.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Dessert, dates with brown butter with vanilla ice cream, date syrup, and halva crumble. Ooh. I mean, how do you miss a halva crumble?
I wouldn't miss a halva crumble. Trust me.
So this with the old wines from large formats is going to be a treat.
Where's this? It's right here in Napa.
It is right here in Napa at Congregation Beth Shalom, the new improved Congregation Beth Shalom, just redone. I mean, the beautiful architecture. It's a spectacular new facility. The tasting will take place out in the courtyard under the grape arbor, and then everybody will move inside to the beautiful reception area and sanctuary where the dinner will take place. Only 120 seats for the dinner, and most of those are gone. But there's still plenty of space available to go to the tasting and to the dinner. So I suggest that people look at this quickly.
Go to our website.
And I'm going to tell you how to do it.
Yes, please do.
All right. Go to the website, the NV, standing for Napa Valley. That's NVJewishVintners.com. NVJewishVintners.com for more information and to reserve your place.
Michael and Gary, I'm listening to you talk, and this sounds wonderful, but I'm at home, I'm in my car, and I think that sounds really interesting and delicious, and I'd love to try those wines, but I'm not Jewish. How can I go to this thing?
Well, I've always felt that to really feel comfortable as a Jew and be at a Jewish vendor's event, you have to have eaten a bagel at some point or known someone who's eaten a bagel. So it's a non-ecumenical tasting. It's we're celebrating our heritage, but we're a very inclusive people and we're a very inclusive congregation. And I don't think anyone in Napa Valley who hears about this would not have a great time and not feel incredibly welcome.
Ah, so I don't have to be Jewish to attend is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, how about that? That's great.
Just like Levy's rye bread. You don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's, which was a campaign for the New York rye bread.
And half of the vintners are, if they're not Jewish, then they're married to someone who's Jewish.
Right, so there's some connection
there's
somewhere.
There's some connection, exactly. But the point is that everybody who's going to be there is celebrating a 5,000-year tradition of wine as an integral part of Jewish life. And we're so fortunate to be able to be here in Napa Valley to build on that tradition. And, of course, modestly, we in Napa Valley feel we're doing it in a way that's maybe, you know, some of the best wines that have ever been made in the Jewish or any other tradition.
In any tradition, exactly. We've got to take a little break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit about the tradition and heritage right here in Napa Valley and other fun things. So don't go away, folks. We've got Michael Deller and Gary Lipp. We're talking about L'chaim. Got to wipe the microphone off again. The Jewish, what is the official title? I'm sorry, you said it earlier.
L'chaim Napa Valley.
Just L'chaim Napa Valley.
A celebration of Jewish vintners.
Aha. Very good. We are here talking with Michael Deller and Gary Lipp. They are two of the grand kibitzers. Is that your title? The organizers of the L'chaim event coming up, a celebration of Jewish vintners here in Napa Valley. And before we get back into that, there's some interesting items you brought along here. Should we talk about these briefly, Michael? What have you got there? You've got a pile of stuff.
I have a pile of stuff. I went through the Goodwill box on my way over. But, you know, the thing is that my wife throws away new items. I only throw away my used socks.
Okay.
But she puts everything in there for charity. But I pulled it out, and I'm sure it's going to go to a good listener. We've got a deck of playing cards here, brand new, from Osame, Napa Valley. Or Heidi Barrett is the winemaker.
Yeah,
so
they have their own cards.
If you want, they do indeed.
High-end wine and playing cards.
Yep. No gambling on these wines. And next, from the Humane Society, a T-shirt which says, "Life is better with a dog."
Oh, okay? That's nice.
Size large.
Okay.
And finally, a suspense thriller, Kate Atkinson's Transcription.
Oh, a book. You're a literary
book.
Guy.
Absolutely. $28 retail value.
But today, all you have to be is the first person to tweet. Got to use Twitter. We used to call this bit getting your hands on Judd's goodies because people would bring in goodies and you could win them. But our former police chief and current district attorney didn't think that was a very good name. So we haven't come up with a more socially responsible term. I don't know, just people winning my stuff. So, but the first one to tweet, we won't use that term. We will just say, you know, I want the stuff, whatever. But you have to use the hashtag JNVS for Judd's Napa Valley Show, and you have to put at Judd's Hill, so I'll see it. First to tweet can get those. And Gary's got something here, too. Gary, what do you got?
Yeah, well, in addition to wine, a very important part of my life has been music. In fact, just a quick aside, back in 1966, I was a senior in high school. My cousin and I started, it was in the days of underground radio. And what we would do is every Sunday night, we would rent 2 hours on the foreign language station in Cleveland. I think it was $35 an hour.
Yeah.
And we would be preceded by the Polish hour, and then it would be 2 hours of us playing Jimi Hendrix and Cream and Paul Butterfield, or whatever was not on AM radio. And then at 10 o'clock, we'd go off the air, and it would be the Slovenian hour. So it was, I'm sure we were as much a foreign language to a lot of those people as theirs were to us.
And say where that was again, I'm sorry?
This was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, yeah.
So anyhow, one of my favorite bands of all time, because of one of my favorite musicians, was Graham Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
And after he left the Byrds, he started a band with former Byrds bandmate Chris Hillman called the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Sure.
And from there, it was his solo career where he discovered Emmy Lou Harris, who I've been in love with ever since. Mm-hmm. And in honor of the wonderful Ken Burns country music, I brought my Flying Burrito Brothers t-shirt.
Hey, look at that.
So it's a pretty spectacular t-shirt.
With the silhouetted motorcycle and profile there.
Yeah. So
are you sure you want to give that away?
Well, for your show, by all means. So.
I feel like that's an heirloom.
You said bring something special.
Well, okay. Folks, there it is. Be the first to tweet with the hashtag JNVS and the at Judd's Hill. You can have the Flying Burrito Brothers shirt, the Life is Better with a Dog shirt, the Suspense Thriller, which title I still don't recall, but it's there and it's substantial, and a deck of wine-related Napa Valley playing cards, suitable for poker, magic, scamming your friends, little three-card Monty. Next week, we'll have walnut shells for the shell game. We'll have lots of fun. Thank you for bringing those. Let's talk more about L'chaim. Who wants to go? I know you've got a lot more you want to talk about.
We just talked about the wine and food a part of this, but there is a beneficiary.
Yeah, where does the money go if I shell out for this wonderful evening?
You bet. We're going to benefit the students in the viticulture program at Napa Valley College. I'm told that program is the largest in existence. The wine program at Napa Valley College. So this is a big deal. We're going to create a scholarship.
Oh, wonderful!
In the name of Congregation Beth Shalom in L'chaim Napa Valley for deserving students in their viticulture, winery, technology program, and the rest of the proceeds will go to education projects for Jewish students in Napa Valley.
Great. Got to support education.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And there's more to the event. There's going to be live music.
Oh,
it is called
going.
A celebration, after all.
Yeah.
So we're going to have live music. There'll be a live auction. And as I said, the drawing for the Magnum collection of these 14 wineries. And here's some of the prizes that are going to be in this live auction. We've got a night stay at the St. Regis Hotel in New York for two. And a dinner at the chef's table at One Market Restaurant. And a schooner cruise.
One Market Restaurant. Hold on. That is a great place. In San Francisco.
That's what I'm told.
Stalwart of the San Francisco dining scene. One Market. And you were able to get a dinner there?
Well, I knew the person to twist their arm.
You knew someone.
So I knew someone.
All right. Know what I might be bidding on.
He's still got the marks on his arm.
A flyover and a river cruise. So we've got a land, sea, and air auction item, lunch in the Napa Valley, a flyover, and a river cruise for six people. So that's going to be a big auction item.
Sounds fun.
And the more the merrier in terms of these prizes. So I do want to do a shout out to the co-chairs of the event. Devereaux Smith and Larry Kamer. They have they've done a spectacular job of putting this activity together. It takes a lot of work, as we all know, to make something like this happen.
Yes, having been involved in my share of events, wow, good for them. Thank you, Devereaux and Larry. And Devereaux was here a few weeks ago when we were ramping up for the Be Kind event, and she's involved with the 100 Kids Who Care Napa Valley. So she's a do-gooder, for sure.
She's a wonderful person, and I'm a little uncomfortable saying this, but she's not Jewish, but is committed to married to someone who is Jewish and is learning all about Judaism and studying it, and you know, it just goes to the point that, you know, we want this tasting and dinner are open to everybody a chance to just enjoy a wonderful, wonderful evening.
So I'm just going to build on that for a moment. Personally, and I've talked about this a little bit in the past, I'm not a very religious person in the strict, most observant type way. But I really do enjoy feeling connected to the culture, you know, feeling a belonging in that sense. So this in and of itself is not a religious event, but it celebrates wine, food, and the Jewish culture. So I can't emphatically enough invite anybody who's not Jewish to come check it out. You know, being that it's not particularly on the religious side, it shouldn't make anyone feel uncomfortable who wouldn't necessarily want to be in a religious setting, because some people are uncomfortable around religion. That's just how some people are built. But this is going to be fun. It's going to be lively. I know there's going to be great humor because there's that stereotype. There was even a documentary you can watch on Netflix called When Jews Were Funny, and it was all about the early, you know, vaudeville comedians and on and on. And that there's something in the DNA, because whenever I get together with folks at this event or other events that happen over there, it's hilarious fun. So I think folks are really going to enjoy, whether you're Jewish or not.
Envy. JewishVintners.com.
Sorry, I stepped on you. Say that again.
No, it's all right.
Okay.
Tickets are available at envyjewishvintners.com.
Great. And you have more to talk about here. There's more happening, right? No?
Well, okay. I think we've talked about that.
Okay.
We want to leave some surprises for the
Well, there is
the
more,
event.
Actually.
Well, I saw there's a couple more notes you were looking
there
at.
There is more. You know, we're going to have autographed books from both Joan Nathan and Janet Fletcher.
Cool.
So these are true collector's items.
Mm-hmm.
No extra charge for the autographs. This is not like Maury Wills signing the baseballs, you know. So you get some of the greatest books ever written on wine and food and cheeses, and they'll be all there for the taking.
A lot of fun. The date again, Saturday, October 19th, and that's from 4 to 9. At Congregation Beth Shalom here on Elm Street in Napa. And say the ticket link one more time, and then I'll ask you again in a few minutes.
Envy.
Yes.
For Napa Valley.
Yes.
JewishVintners.com.
Cool. And there really is a long history of Jewish presence in Napa Valley. I was kind of looking it up. I was hoping we could have somebody here from the Historical Society as well. It didn't work out for today, but maybe another time we can talk about that. But there's a great book out, if anybody would like to read about that history here in Napa Valley, called Under the Vine and the Fig Tree, The Jews of the Napa Valley by Lynn Weber. And it's out there. I'm sure you can go to BookMine here in Napa or the Napa County Library and get that. And there's just stories about the early settlers here, a little bit more of the modern families and what they're doing. And I was kind of curious to see what was what, and I was doing a little research before you guys came in. And just a couple fun facts. I found a website, the Jewish Museum of the American West, and if anybody wants to play along at home, their website is JMAW, Jewish Museum American West, JMAW.org, and there are dozens of profiles of families and people from the 19th century on who were in Napa Valley, but a couple I found interesting. Does the name Emmanuel Manasse, I'm guessing is how you pronounce his last name, mean anything? It didn't to me, but he was a German immigrant, came to Napa from old Germany, and settled here in the 18... No, I didn't write it down, but I believe it was in the 1850s or 60s, and he worked as a tanner. You know, Napa had a big tanning industry, and they still have Tannery Bend and the Tannery Building at the Hat Building. So he worked for Sawyer Tannery, which was in operation until 1990 here in Napa, and became a prominent person here of Jewish heritage, and he's the guy credited with developing patent leather. As a tanner, he developed patent leather right here in Napa, California, as well as a process which I know nothing about, but if you're in the tanning business, maybe it's called Nap-A-Tan, Napa Tan. I don't know what that is, but it's a process he developed here. And he built his house right near downtown Napa. It's a beautiful house, and it's still there, and it's known as the White House Inn, which some people might know. It's on Brown Street, and it's a beautiful, beautiful bed and breakfast now, and you can stay at his house. I thought that was kind of neat.
Patent leather.
Patent leather right here in Napa.
What would formal wear be without it?
That's exactly it. And we can thank Emmanuel Manass from, originally from Germany, but made his home in Napa, California. How about that? Another family, the Goodmans, Abraham Goodman. This hit close to me. I grew up in St. Helena, so I grew up with Goodman's department store right there on Main Street. It's where I got all my Cub Scout, Boy Scout uniforms, school clothes, my new Levi's. Another prominent, but not here in Napa. That's a San Francisco guy. But anyhow, Abraham Goodman was a Hungarian immigrant and came to St. Helena in 1876. And that's when he opened a dry goods store and then the clothing store, which was there for just until recently.
I 2 years ago.
Yeah, Goodman's. And this is kind of cool, too. His son, Julius, along with a fellow named Joseph Galensky, so you have Goodman and Galensky, they opened the first cinema in Napa Valley called the G&G, Goodman and Galensky Theater, in 1913. And that's still there. And it's now known as the Cameo Theater in St. Helena. But, growing up, it was always the Liberty Theater. But before that, long before my time in 1913, it was G&G Theater, opened by Goodman and Galensky. So a couple early contributions from some people of Jewish extraction here in Napa Valley. And then we get into the wine business. And that long list of folks you said who are going to be participating at the L'Chaim event October 19th are carrying on this tradition. And it goes way back in the culture. I mean, way, way back. I imagine, I don't know if either of you have visited Israel.
Indeed.
I was last there almost 22 years ago, but during that trip, I was taking a walk through the Jerusalem hills, and my friend, who was a tour guide, like an official accredited tour guide, she knew her way around, and we were just taking a hike through the hills, and she stopped me and said, "Hold on, stop right there." And I said, "Yeah, this is a beautiful view. You can see the city in the distance." And there's, so that's not why I stopped you. Look down. I looked at my feet, and I realized it was very flat. I was standing on a slab that had been just leveled out of the mountainside, and there was a channel dug into it that led into a hole on the other side. And there's nothing. There's no structure or anything. I mean, I didn't realize until she told me. When I looked closer, that's what I saw. Oh, this is a artificial, I'm standing on something somebody made. And she said, "You are standing," and I think she said it was 3,000. I mean, it was at least, it was like before biblical times, I think is what she told me this was created. Winery. It was a winemaking facility.
Incredible.
Pre-biblical. Wow. And that slab is where they would bring the grapes and crush them, and then that channel is where they would stomp on the grapes, I guess, on top of that channel, and then the juice would flow to wherever they need. Exactly, gravity flow. Pre-biblical in the Jerusalem hills, and it really struck me, wow, we are connected to wine for so much of our history. It's just incredible.
You know, one of our winemakers actually makes wine in Israel.
Oh, yeah?
Jeff Morgan from Covenant Wines,
Sure.
who has vineyards in Napa Valley,
mm-hmm.
Also has a vineyard in Israel.
He's, yeah, very active over there. So he'll be here at the L'Chaim
he'll
event,
be here
or the wine will
his
be?
His Covenant wine, right. Oh. And again, Ernie Weir, mm-hmm. our own kosher winemaker with Hagafen Wines,
yes.
will be front and center.
That'll be great to talk to him. That's interesting. You know, people ask me, I guess, because of the name Finkelstein, if we make kosher wine at Judd's Hill, and we don't. But I have been involved before... Hagafen had their brick and mortar facility. When I was a little kid, we used to make it, as a, a custom job up when my family had Whitehall Lane Winery, and I got to observe the process, which is pretty, wine is pretty much made the same way. It's just the type of supervision and some of the methods are slightly different. And it's interesting to watch. And I would encourage anybody who's interested to go up to Hagafen. They don't necessarily make a big deal in their marketing that they are a kosher winery, but if you get the chance to go up there and see who's making the wine and ask some questions, I think it's very fascinating. And then you'll feel a little connected to these ancient customs as well, just seeing that happening in a modern facility.
Well, I think the other important aspect of the kosher wines that Ernie makes, and Jeff Morgan too, for that matter, is they're delicious.
Yes.
And I think that's the goal of all us winemakers, Jewish or not, is to try and make delicious wines. And I think that at our event, there's going to be a great opportunity to taste up to 50 really well-made and delicious wines.
Yes.
If I can, I'd like to just repeat who's going to be there.
Yeah,
just
sure.
To re-entice people that this is an opportunity to...
Entice.
Yeah.
Tell, you know, and I'll just make the note, because you're about to read a list of some phenomenal vintners, and there still is that perception of kosher wine. Now, not all these wines are going to be kosher. In fact, very few of them are actually...
Only two.
So, but there is that... Unfortunately, still a stigma with many that kosher wine means Manischewitz. Manischewitz, Mogen David, that very cloyingly sweet, you know, Concord grape wine that you would serve at a holiday. And I would also like to invite anybody who has that, I don't know if you would call it opinion or a preconceived notion, to come out to this event and make a beeline for the Hagafen table, the Covenant table, and try some premium Napa Valley kosher wine.
Exactly.
Delicious stuff, yeah.
Yes. So anyhow, in addition to the Covenant and Hagafen wines, as I mentioned earlier, Castello d'Amoroso, the Castle Winery will be there, Hall Wines, Hard Six Cellars, Judd, we're happy as always, you're such a great supporter, your beautiful wines will be there.
It's for the kids.
For the kids, there you go. Honig Wines, La Coya, Mathiasen, Maxim, the Diamond Cellars, Silver Trident Winery, and of course, as we said earlier, Michael's Stardust Wines and my own Coho Wines.
Fantastic. It's very exciting. We got a couple minutes. Any last words you want to say about this? We've told people what they're going
to
expect. And
say something.
Yeah.
When I came to Napa Valley in '81 as a cellar worker, I found myself alone on my first high holidays. My wife was back in Cleveland packing us up because the job I got at Height Cellars was a happened very quickly, and so I went to the little synagogue on Elm Street,
yeah,
and got befriended by this really wonderful, warm man, your father, Art, and welcomed me in, and invited me to join he and friends for lunch group, and really welcomed me into Napa Valley and the community of Jewish winemakers, which starting in the early 70s was very profound and continues to this day. There's a lot of people in the industry that have a Jewish background, and I'm very proud that we're all contributing to making these world-class wines.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for the remembrance of my father. I'm glad he had
a special guy.
This is true, and I'm glad that he... that you have that perception of him welcoming you in, because he was a warm dude.
Right, and just one last note on that.
And a fan of yours, he did bring you up often.
Speaking of Jewish humor, of course, something that the synagogue, I believe, still does, but its heyday and always will be to me, Jewish Joke Night, of which your father was. I was privileged to be on his cooking crew.
Yes,
would cook his 30 sides of salmon all on cedar planks.
He was famous for that,
and we'd all drink a lot of wine in the kitchen and then tell a lot of very funny and sometimes not so funny stories while we consumed the fish and drank more wine.
So you were one of the Alta cookers.
I was the youngest of the Alta cookers.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Back then.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I don't know if we can say this completely on the air, but since it's Yiddish, maybe not everyone understands, but I don't speak Yiddish, but I know the phrase Altacocker is slang for like an old coot, like a geezer.
Right.
And Alta meaning old, and Cocker, use your imagination.
Yiddish was a very descriptive language.
Yeah, but you turned it to cookers, so you were the old cookers, Alta cookers. I thought that was very cute, and I still have an apron that says Alta cooker on it. Nice remembrances.
Yeah, your dad was a great guy.
Oh, well, okay, let's just talk about him for the next few minutes. No, that's sweet. Thank you. And I know he's known you, Michael, or you guys knew each other.
Long, long time.
Decades and decades and decades. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I know it's not... It's not Hanukkah, but since we're talking, I brought a little treat. We're all going to have, we're going to start Hanukkah early. Usually I ask if you go nuts for donuts. I'm not even going to ask. I'm just passing these out. You can take them. I got, I stopped at the fabulous Buttercream Bakery earlier and got the Hanukkah staple because they have them all year long. The jelly donut.
All right.
These will be here. You can take them whenever you want. Do you guys get into, do you guys do that?
Hey, thank you, Jed.
Sure.
Latkes and donuts and all that coming up in the next couple months.
Amen. Hey, you know, before we finish on the event, let me just say that we have a special price for CIA students, as well as students of the Napa Valley College Viticulture Program, $15 for the tasting.
Wow.
Only $15. So go to the website, which is nvvintners.com. I wish I knew what the code was for that, but if you're creative, you'll figure out how to get that $15 price. But just for CIA students and students of the Napa Valley College Viticulture Program.
Wonderful. You know, if it's supporting the students at the end where the money goes, why not bring them in to participate as well? So that's really nice to make
it
easy.
It's a learning experience for them.
Great. Great. That's wonderful. You guys, I'm really happy you came in. This is going to be the first in a series that I'm going to, it's not going to be a regular series, I'm just going to take them as they come up, but try to spotlight some different types of cultural events here in our Napa community that that are inclusive and can open up, you know, minds, perspectives of people who are interested. Maybe we'll even get some people who aren't interested, but will become engaged by attending. One of the most inspiring local community builders that I know here in Napa is Megan Dominici, and they're going through a tragic moment. So, you know, we all send our love to that family. But her words are in my mind every day. And she always says, we're better together. And I think there's nothing truer, you know? And so I thank you for coming in and sharing what you've got going on. I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to more wonderful multicultural events here in Napa Valley and bringing people together because we are better together.
Well, thanks, Judd. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and share our event with you and your listeners, and hope some of them will come and join us. I know they'll have a great time.
Yeah, fantastic. And if you are there because you heard this, come up to one of us, Michael Deller, Gary Lipp, Judd Finkelstein. Just say, heard you on the radio. Thanks. That's all I got for this. So I'm going to say to Lauren Mole, why don't you talk us out, sir? And thank you guys again. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure, Judd.
Yeah.
This is Lauren Mole speaking for Judd's Napa Valley Show, a Gillamar production.
KVON Napa,
the voice of wine country.
Everyone's a Finkel friend on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show.